Translation, the king did not forbid his son Dushasana's abominable action of grabbing the hair of Draupadi, the wife of the godly king Yudhisthira, even though her tears washed the red dust on her breast. So the action is abominable. Dushasana grabbing the hair of Draupadi. And also abominable was the king, Dhritarashtra, did not stop this. He did not forbid it. Even though Draupadi's tears were washing the red dust on her breast. This is a description that Shukadev Goswami is giving to Parikshit Maharaj. And it describes the materially contaminated Kuru dynasty members. They were intelligent, materially intelligent, and pursued materialistic goals like power and influence. But they were bewildered by their false pride, and they hated their cousins, the Pandavas, Krishna's devotees. So during this dark time, the introspective and spiritually minded persons like Vidura and the Pandavas awakened, as it said in the Bhagavad Gita, what's night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. The Kurus were engaged in a dark night, and the enlightened persons, Abhidura and the Pandavas and so on, were awakened at this time. We'll talk about this a little more today after we read the next verse and purport. This also reminds me, on a contemporary scale, of what I saw recently. I was in Leicester, in the Leicester Temple for a month, and when I was up one morning, it was Saturday morning, or was it Sunday morning? It could have been either one. I was up chanting my japa early, and I went to the front window. I was walking in the hall, went to the front window, and looked down, and there was a bar across the street, and the people were, of course, drinking and milling around. And I thought, I'm up here chanting. I'm lucky. When I said to a devotee later in the day, "What, so many people are out there on the street?" He said, "Well, they don't have anything better to do, so they go to the bar." So these materialists are the ones that Lord Nityananda showed by his example how to save. He went to the bars to preach he preached to the drunkards, Jugga and Muddai. And so our Hare Nam party on Saturday night in London is the outreach for these people. We try to save them from the dark night of materialistic activities Saturday night in London. Shakespeare said something about this. He was describing a character and said that this person is more attracted, he said, to the night than to the day, but he compared the night and the day, and the morning, actually, night and morning. This person is more attracted to the buttocks of the night. And Saturday night at the bar means, you know, you're looking, ah, that girl looks, ooh. You're looking at the buttocks. That's nighttime activity. And better than that is the morning. Shakespeare compared the morning to the forehead of the morning. Buttocks of the night, forehead of the morning. So here we are in the morning, and what are we doing? We're not gabbing, we're not chatting with everyone, we're controlling our tongue. We're going to listen. Our ears are open. We're going to listen to the Bhagavatam. Today we're going to find out more about the Battle of Kurukshetra. That's described in the next verse. Krishna was... Krishna is, you could say he was the leader on the battle of Kurukshetra, at the battle of Kurukshetra. But that's eternally what Krishna does. It's something he does eternally. Just like he eternally herds the cows. Today, Gokulananda had a big red turban, like, you know, sometimes you see the men in Rajasthan wear big turbans. You can see when the curtains open. Okay, text 8. Oh, also, when Krishna was on the battlefield, I wanted to say, he started the Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada said on several occasions. He started the Hare Krishna movement by speaking the Bhagavad Gita with Arjuna as his disciple. The Hare Krishna movement's really based on the Bhagavad Gita, and that was spoken. That was Krishna's plan, to speak the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield. So Prabhupada said that's where he started the Hare Krishna movement. Next verse is about gambling and how Yudhisthira was tricked by the gambling. Dyute te adharmena jitasya shabhu satya balam basya manam gatasya naya chato dat samayena dayam tamo Jushano Yad Ajatashatro. Yudhisthira is known as Ajatashatro. He has no enemy. Yudhisthira, who was born without any enemy, was unfairly defeated in gambling. He was cheated. But because he had taken the vow of truthfulness, he went off to the forest. He went to the forest for 13 years. When he came back in due course and begged the Kurus for the return of his rightful share of the kingdom, he was refused by Dhritarashtra, who was overwhelmed by illusion. Purport. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the rightful heir to his father's kingdom. But Dhritarashtra, just to favor his sons, headed by Duryodhana, Maharaj Maharaj Yudhisthira's uncle adopted various unfair means to cheat his nephews of their rightful share of the kingdom. At last, the Pandavas demanded only 5 villages, one for each of the 5 brothers. But that was also refused by the usurpers. This incident led to the war of Kurukshetra. The battle of Kurukshetra, therefore, was induced by the Kurus and not by Pandavas. As Kshatriyas, the proper livelihood of the Pandavas was only to rule and not to accept any other occupation. A Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya will not accept employment for his livelihood under any circumstances. Om again, Timurandasya, Gyananjana, Shalakaya, Chakshushun Militam, Yenatasmai, Sri Guruve, Namah, Sri Chaitanya, Manobishtam, Stapitam, Yenabhutade, Swayam, Rupa, Dhammaya, Dadati swa padantikam mandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavam scha shri rupam sagajatam sagana raganatan vitam tam sajivam sadvetam sabadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri vishakan vitam scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Kaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo nama nama. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yudhisthira, who was born without any enemy, was unfairly defeated in gambling, but because he had taken the vow of truthfulness, he went off to the forest. When he came back in due course and begged the return of his rightful share of the kingdom, he was refused by Dhritarashtra, who was overwhelmed by illusion. So this is being described to Vidura. By Uddhava, who is repeating what was said by Suta Goswami, who repeated what was said by Shukadev to Parikshit. As the chapter goes on, Vidura laments for Dhritarashtra because he was so rebellious. He rebelled against his brother Pandu. And after Pandu's death, Dhritarashtra rebelled against his nephews also. So the palace life was very intricate and diplomatic. Everything was complicated. It was made complicated by the farce of kingship that Dhritarashtra enacted. And as a result, faultless persons were cheated and they were charged, Vidura was charged with acting like a spy. And Duryodhana said, punish him, punish him. But before anything could be done, Vidura left. So the Kurus, the 100 sons in Duryodhana, they were trying to rule on their own strength. They didn't have legitimate kingdom. And Krishna even encouraged them in this illusion. He didn't immediately stop them. He could have stopped them when Draupadi was dishonored, grabbed by the hair. He saved Draupadi, but he didn't immediately stop everything. And thus they became even more bewildered. But Krishna had his plan how to deal with them. And by the grace of Krishna, Vidura wasn't influenced by his brother Dhritarashtra. You know, usually you feel the influence of those around you, but Vidura wasn't foolish like Dhritarashtra. He saw an opportunity to take up devotional service to Krishna more intensely when he was insulted by Duryodhana. The words were very piercing. Duryodhana's words pierced Vidura's heart, but Prabhupada explains that the external energy was acting on Duryodhana while the internal energy was working on Vidura. Vidura took inspiration from this insult. And he thought, now I will leave this crummy palace and I'll go on pilgrimage. So his pilgrimage was very successful because his desire was pure. He went to holy places and he achieved his goal of becoming absolutely surrendered to Krishna. It took some time. Time passed as he traveled. But he wasn't sorry that he left home. Now I have no home. I'm so upset. I don't have a home. No. Because he was gaining experience of depending on Krishna. This is the reward of pilgrimage. And even for us, when we go on pilgrimage, we can experience that dependence on the mercy of the Lord. That gives us more freedom than the so-called freedom of having your own home. I remember when I was a younger brahmachari and I was living in LA, there were lots of grihastas. They had a lot of apartments available across the street from the temple. And I was thinking, hey, some freedom. If I become a grihasta, I can, you know, have my own place. So I inquired from my authority whether there were any girls in the temple who were interested in getting married. He said, well, give me a couple of days. And thank God I woke up in just a couple of days and I thought, what am I doing? I won't have freedom if I become a grihasta. I'll have to work. Better to work for Prabhupada. So something like that, Vidura was realizing his freedom as a pilgrim. Not that he's tied to some home. And Krishna was planning, he was designing the battle of Kurukshetra. That was Krishna's design, to kill all the undesirable kings. And he wanted to share the glory with his devotees, the Pandavas. He wanted to give credit to Arjuna for winning, fighting and winning. So Krishna just took the part of the charioteer, and Arjuna played the fighter, and he became the hero. You remember Krishna's words to Arjuna. He reassured Arjuna, don't worry, don't fear. By me, all these men have been slain already. That's what Krishna told Arjuna before the battle. They're already slain by me. It's my plan that they're going to be killed. You just be the instrument. Nimitta matram. Become the instrument. And he called Arjuna Savyasachin. Savyasachin means masterful archer. Arjuna was really good at shooting bows and arrows. He had practiced. He had learned in his youth how to become an archer. So Savyasachin, Nimitta Matram Baba, Savyasachin, just become my instrument. So we could learn that what Krishna wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, he executes through his confidential devotees. Krishna shows mercy to his devotees by engaging them in enacting his plans. Now we might wonder, well, that was Krishna and Arjuna. What about now? Well, Prabhupada taught us that the whole world is moving according to Krishna's plan. So Krishna's transcendental plan is still at work. It's not that that's something of the past. So we have to be intelligent, like Arjuna. Foolish persons are without sufficient knowledge to understand Krishna's plan. They think that the material nature moves without a plan. They think it's just physical chemistry or something. And everything that's manifested was just some accident or happened by chance. But let's consider the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That was Krishna's plan. That was a plan of God that battle was fought. And Arjuna was told, you fight in accordance with this plan, with the desire of Krishna. Then you'll be happy. Then, so the same thing applies when we're in full Krishna consciousness and our life is devoted to the Lord's service. We become perfect, just like Arjuna. The topic is the battle. You know, it's something that took place. It was warfare. But really there's something else involved, and that is that Krishna, speaking the Bhagavad Gita to help everyone become free from the chain of repeated birth and death, he's showing in the Bhagavad Gita, you're immortal. All these men on the battlefield are immortal. Natvevaham jatu nasham natvam neme janadi paha. Nachayva nabhavishyam asarve vayam ataparam. You existed before. You'll continue to exist. All of us. And most people are just destined to die. They don't know about the soul and the consciousness. But by hearing these topics about Krishna and the battlefield of Kurukshetra, hearing about war and death. Actually, helps the listeners, that's us. It helps us win the war against Maya, which is obliging us to accept repeated birth and death. So we're very fortunate we're able to realize our immortality in relation to Krishna, not outside Krishna. This is Prabhupada's magic. Krishna's in our life. Krishna's in the center of our lives now. The other day I was speaking to a couple of visitors from Holland, a woman and her partner. And, you know, as soon as I mentioned the fighting on the battlefield, she was suspicious. You know, why does this violence take place? You know, she had no idea, you know, what was going on. So I tried to sympathize with her. I said, yes, our generation, you know, we're very much against the government's misuse of violence. I used to protest the Vietnam War when I was a student. And even nowadays, people are protesting the military establishments. But this fighting of Krishna ensured the liberation of all the persons that were on the battlefield. They were liberated from birth and death. This was said by Bhishma Dev said everyone on the battlefield detained their original spiritual existence after death. And Uddhava, later in this chapter, he confirms this. Uddhava says, certainly the fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified, surprise, here's a surprise, by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows and while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. The purport is very nice to this verse. I'll read this. Sri Krishna appears in this world to deliver the faithful and to annihilate the miscreants. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam. And then what's the sadhu verse? Louder? Sadhunam vinishai chaduskritam. Right. Now, Prabhupada says, because the Lord is absolute, these two different actions, annihilating and delivering, are ultimately one and the same. And he shows this. He annihilates a demon like Shishupal. That's as auspicious for Shishupal as Krishna's protecting the faithful devotees. All the warriors who fought against Arjuna, but who were able to see the lotus-like face of the Lord on the battlefront, they achieved the Lord's abode exactly as the devotees of the Lord do. When the warriors from the other side of the battlefield saw Lord Krishna at the front, they appreciated his beauty, and their dormant love of God was awakened. Shishupal also saw the Lord, but he saw the Lord as his enemy, and his love of God was not awakened. Therefore, Shishupal achieved oneness with the Lord by merging in the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord's body. But these others, the warriors on the battlefield, who were slightly in love of Godhead by appreciating the beauty of Krishna's face, were at once promoted to the spiritual planets, the Vaikunthas. Prabhupada says, love of Godhead is dormant in every living entity, and the entire process of devotional service unto the Lord is meant for awakening this dormant, eternal love of Godhead. But there are degrees of such transcendental awakening. Those whose love of God is awakened to the fullest extent go back to the Goloka Vrindavan planet, Whereas people who have just awakened to love of God by accident or by association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. This love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. Those warriors who saw the beautiful face of Krishna on the battlefield were also purified by Arjuna when he made his onslaught with arrows. Arjuna was assisting the Lord by fighting on Krishna's behalf. All the activities of a pure devotee are executed on behalf of the Lord. Therefore, Arjuna's killing was as good as killing by the Lord himself. As soon as Arjuna shot an arrow at an enemy, that enemy became purified of all material contaminations and became eligible to be transferred to the spiritual sky. And those warriors who appreciated the lotus feet of the Lord and saw his face had their dormant love of God awakened and were transferred to Vaikuntha. Shishupal died without appreciating the Lord, while others died with appreciation of the Lord. And both were transferred to the spiritual sky. But those who awakened to love of God were transferred to the planets of this transcendental sky. So that's interesting. Arjuna's arrows purified the warriors. Got hit by an arrow. And wow, that was purifying. And then he dies. And he goes to the Vaikuntha planets. That's the end of the class. Boom, ba-doop, boom, boom. Any questions? Shamsundar Prabhu. And why the hair is mentioned but not the robes? Well, I think it's just a, you know, you could say poetic license. Shukadeva is describing to Parikit, and he mentions that. And there's a poetic technique called allusion. So if you mention Draupadi's hair being grabbed by Dushasana, of course you think of the disrobing also, even though it's not directly included in the verse. That scene is called to mind. That's the power of poetic illusion. So I think it's like that. Shukadeva is composing these verses for Parikit. Of course, it could be mentioned in other verses also, but in this one it's not. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Good.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. At some point you mentioned you shared a personal experience in Los Angeles.
Louder? You have to speak louder?
You were sharing a personal experience in Los Angeles when you saw all the Grihastas living across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were wondering, like, maybe get married and stuff.
Yes, freedom of Grihasta life.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the point I'm wondering, because I think there is this idea that like brahmachari is like the path of freedom, and it's like the goal in a way for us as men. But like grihastha life is like more like the plan B, like really if you cannot control your desire, you get married.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really like that? Or
yes.
It's like that, yeah.
Did everyone hear the question? No. Can you say it again? Really clear. Loud, everybody can hear.
So I think there is this idea that brahmachari is the goal. Yeah. And that grihastha life is more like a plan B. Like if we can
plan B.
Plan B.
Grihastha life's plan B, but to be celibate is really the goal.
Yeah. Is it like that?
Yeah, I mean, even the grihastha is supposed to be self-controlled. And you see that in spiritual culture of India. The grihasthas can follow Krishna's example. Srila Prabhupada said in the Krishna book that Krishna never engaged in sex life except for the propagation of children in Dwarka. There was no illicit sex in Vrindavan. So Krishna sets the example of an ideal grihastha and people are following. That's the recommendation of spiritual masters in our line. Grihastha life also means no illicit sex. And if you can have hundreds of children and make them all Krishna conscious, then that's also good. You can do that. So either way, brahmacharya or grihastha, there's no difference in one sense. Prabhupada said a grihastha who can live with a beautiful woman and follow the principles is better than a brahmachari. Any other questions? That's okay, right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, looks like everybody's... Any one lady? Microphones come in.
Hare Krishna. Is it on? Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the lecture. Somewhere in the beginning of the lecture, you very nicely said how the difficulties in Maharaja Yudhishthira's life were his experiences for surrender. Could you kindly say something about the mindset and understanding that is needed for one to make the difficulties in life such experiences of surrender?
Okay, I understood you to ask, based on what I said about Yudhisthira and Vidura, they had faced difficulties and they took them as a time to awaken to a spiritual life, and they developed those ideas and succeeded. And you'd like me to say more on that, facing difficulties?
Yes, how can we, when we face difficulties, make them these experiences where we surrender and see it as a higher...
How can we life? Face difficulties and come out of them progressively in spiritual life? Well, I often remember the instruction that was given when atonement was being discussed in the sixth canto. Prabhupada brings up the idea that based on one's intelligence, one learns. One who is very intelligent learns by hearing. He can set his course based on hearing what to do and what not to do. And we're supposed to also be very intelligent. We're supposed to hear from Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, that we should tolerate happiness and distress, keep our mind fixed on spiritual liberation, and develop the qualities of a devotee. Krishna gives really good instructions about the qualities of a devotee, starting in the second chapter when Arjuna asks him, what is a person like who's situated as a transcendentalist? Nice verses there. So we have to learn what Krishna recommends, and if we're very intelligent, then we'll act like that also. And then the second class intelligence, that's first class, the second class intelligence is one learns by seeing the mistakes of others. So we're in a community and we'll see ups and downs. Devotees have ups and downs. And if you see devotee in a downward trajectory, you try to learn something, maybe help. And then the third class intelligence is you learn by your mistakes. You make mistakes and learn. So those are the three ways. Is that okay? Difficulties can be internal or they can be external. I mean, you were talking maybe about external difficulties like Yudhisthira and Vidura had. Devotees have external difficulties and we try to face them together. But internal difficulties also have to be faced. The shadows of our life. But the movement also has shadows. ISKCON has a kind of a shadow life. And we have to face that also and adjust ISKCON so that it doesn't remain in the shadow. So we have institutional responsibilities also to the extent that we want to engage in that. Is that okay? Okay, good. All right. I think that was the last question. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.